Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek and I am so glad that you decided to make some time to join me today because it's going to be a great show. We're going to look at the Mass readings for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the theme is one of my favorites. I always like talking about this topic. My title for this program is Who Do You Trust? And when it comes to issues of trust, we can place our trust in many sources: ourselves, possessions, other people. But ultimately, do we trust God? And if so, to what extent do we trust Him? And it's hard. That's why I like this topic so much, because I struggle with this. It's not easy to trust God, especially if you happen to find yourself in a situation where you're really taking a chance trusting Him. You really need Him to come through. You know, one of those situations? And look, that's going to mean different things to different people. I know what that means to me. It might mean something different to you. But over the course of our lives, we are going to find us in sets of circumstances which require us to really place our trust in God. Or I should say this, which provide an opportunity to really trust in God. It's always voluntary. We don't have to choose to trust Him. We'll talk a little bit about what trust is and what it's not, and maybe highlight a couple of different situations. But we'll see this theme play out in the various readings from the Mass of the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. We have, after today, 2 more weeks before we head into Advent. Isn't that crazy? Because there's 34 weeks in Ordinary Time. So this is the 32nd Sunday. Then we have this, the 33rd, and then the 34th Sunday, which is the Solemnity of Christ the King. And then the following week, we begin the Advent season. We'll talk a little bit more about that, how we're going to do Advent on this show. And yes, we are going to talk about Advent in a few weeks. But right now, let's settle in and let's talk about this idea of trusting God. We'll look at the readings and we'll chat. Sound good? So feel free to grab yourself a beverage or a snack. Make yourself comfortable. And before we go any further, let's turn to our Father in heaven, the one in whom we are invited to place our trust. Let's turn to Him and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, it's so great to be able to be in Your presence. Father, I know that You're with me right now. I know that You can hear my words. I know that You can see me. I know that You're bigger than any problem or challenge that I could ever face. I know that You want me to trust You. I also know that I struggle with that at times, and You know that as well. Father, I want to be able to trust You more. I want my confidence in You to grow. I want to believe that You always keep Your promises and that You only want what's best for me. I really do want to believe that, but sometimes I struggle and I'm going to need Your help. Father, we lift up all of our friends and family. We lift up those who have asked for our prayers. We pray for our leaders, both religious and in our governments. We lift up our friends and family who may be currently in purgatory right now. We pray for those souls who have no one to pray for them. We pray for all who are struggling financially, all who are dealing with some sort of a medical issue, all who are discouraged or hopeless. And I pray, Father, that You will send Your Holy Spirit upon me today to give me the words so I can deliver Your message, Father. And then I pray that each of our hearts can be opened up so that we can hear Your words and Your message and put it into practice. Father, I ask these things in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me if you just happen to be tuning in. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this program once each week, 30 minutes each week, as we look at the Mass readings, the Sunday Mass readings for whatever Sunday we happen to be on. This week, it's the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And before we go any further, I just want to give a shout out to all the various Catholic radio stations who carry this program around the country, as well as the podcast services who provide it. It's a great blessing to be able to share this message with through their efforts, the efforts of the various stations and services that carry the show, to be able to share it with you. I'm grateful that they allow me to do that, and I'm grateful that you stop by each week and listen to the program. If you're a first-time listener, I really want to welcome you and thank you for joining me on the show. I hope you'll make it a regular practice to listen to the program. I'm always blessed that you make the decision to spend your time with me. I know you could be doing something else right now, so I'm grateful that you choose to spend it with me. And I hope you know that when I do this program, it really lifts me up too. If I'm having a bad day and I get to open these readings and chat about them with you, it really makes me feel good. As we literally, or figuratively, I should say, sit around the table. I say figuratively because I'm looking at an empty chair in front of me. I know you're not there physically, but I certainly feel your presence in a spiritual sense. I'm looking forward to doing these readings, but before I do that, I just want to remind you that my new book, Find Peace in Advent, 4 Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas, is now available. You can pick up a copy of it wherever you get your online books, you can find it. But you can also get it from the publisher, Ave Maria Press. Their website is avemariapress.com. And again, the book is Find Peace in Advent, 4 Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. The book is a daily devotional. It has a Bible verse. It has a reflection. It has a quick response to the verse, in other words, reflecting on it, then, okay, what am I going to do in response to it? And then I also end each daily meditation with a prayer. It takes a couple minutes each day. This is not a burdensome book. And we're going to start it. We're going to actually be looking at some of the themes in this book beginning on December the 1st, the weekend of December the 1st, which is the first Sunday of Advent. So in a few weeks, we're going to be doing that. I'm not going to read the book line by line over the air, but if you'd like to get a copy of it, I believe it'll help you. And for the Sunday readings, we'll share some thoughts. I'll share some thoughts based on this book, Find Peace in Advent. Again, avemariapress.com is where to get it from the publisher, but any bookseller that carries books, you can find it there as well. If you want to find out more about my ministry, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. While you're there, I'd invite you to sign up for my daily email, Reflection. Let not your heart be troubled. It's totally free of charge. All you need to do is supply your email address, and you will be good to go. All right, you ready for this? Let's do this. We're talking about trust this week, one of my favorite topics, because I do find it so challenging. You know, when you choose to place your trust in someone, you're always taking a chance because you're trusting them. You know, and that's the thing. It's one thing to take action yourself and to do something and to literally trust in yourself, but you typically know that you're going to come through for you. But when you have to trust somebody else, you have to take their word for something, that their word is good. And if they say, well, look, you just got to trust me, I'm going to do the right thing for you, you have to trust them. I got my car serviced the other day. I had to trust the mechanic because I don't know if what he told me was true. But I choose to place my trust in so many people, the auto mechanic, my pharmacist, the person who delivers my fast food order when I go to a fast food restaurant. You know, we trust people all the time. The advice of our doctor. But the Lord God, I think so many times we struggle to place our trust in him. And yet he's the most trustworthy individual that we could ever choose to place our trust in. Trust is not a feeling. Trust is a decision. So you can choose to trust in God, for instance, even if you're scared, even if you're skeptical, even if you would rather not, you can choose to do it. And I think, as with so many things involved with the spiritual life, basically the entire spiritual life involves trust. I mean, you really have to place your trust and not rely necessarily on your own understanding. Not that God's saying don't do anything, just completely blindly trust me. No, he expects us to use some common sense. If we can do something about a particular problem, he doesn't want us to be irresponsible. He wants us to place our trust in him. Let's do the readings and we'll talk a little bit more about what that may mean. We're going to start, as we always do on this program, with the gospel first. And the gospel comes from Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows, and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." So, quite literally, Jesus is saying to the crowds, not necessarily to his disciples, but to the crowds, the masses of people who are listening to him, don't trust the scribes, the religious leaders. And this is one particular brand of individuals who, you know, they're pretty sneaky. They have their own interests in mind. They're taking advantage of widows. And they recite lengthy prayers, but they don't live out those prayers, and they're not heartfelt prayers. So the Lord's saying, okay, be careful before you place your trust in these people who are not trustworthy. Now, to continue on, Jesus sat down opposite the treasury, and he observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." Now, I've got a lot to say about this example because I want to make sure that I don't mislead you, because you can take this the wrong way. I believe what the Lord is saying here is this lady, this widow, she's given from her heart, not from her excess money. Not throwing in a couple of cents when she's a millionaire. This woman has nothing. She's very poor, and she's placing all of her trust in God. Now, as many as he often did, Jesus is using what I think a very extreme example to get the attention of the crowds and to get our attention as well. She's putting in everything she has. I do not think, I would say without doubt, not I do not think, I know that Jesus is not commanding us to give all of our money to the poor, to the church collection, to various charities. So much so that we can't pay our rent or buy groceries or provide for the needs of ourselves and our families. He's not saying that. That would be irresponsible. So I want to make sure that when we look at this, we don't go off the deep end, and I don't think you will, but it's possible somebody could hear this and say, "Oh my goodness, I need to give everything away, and I need to lose my home because I have to give the money to the poor." That's not what the Lord asks of us. Could there be a case where sometimes he might? Well, yeah, you could look back on the throughout history and maybe some of the saints would do something like this, give up everything and go join a religious order or become homeless or whatever. For the most part, the Lord is not asking us to do that. What he's asking us to do is give not from our excess, not from our surplus, but from what we need. Maybe give up the daily cup of coffee at the convenience store, the eating out several times a week, the money you would spend on movies, a little bit, not all of it. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy yourself, but maybe dig in to your me money a little bit and share it with others. I really believe that's what he's getting at. Now, I could extend that and say he's also talking about time, giving up of your time, your me time, and go out and serve somebody else. I think that's legitimate. I'm always hesitant to do that because it's possible that maybe you're having a problem with greed. You know, I don't want to give you an out and say, well, I'm going to keep all my money, but I'll give a little extra time. You know, for each of us, that's going to be different. I really believe that. I struggle with this gospel. It's a tough one because I think it's very challenging. And I think for each of us, what the Lord's inviting us to do is ask, am I really giving of myself and from my treasures, whatever that may be? Am I doing it from the heart? Or am I just going through the motions? And I think as we head into the Advent season and look for ways to become closer to Jesus and welcome him more fully into our lives, I think this is a good question to ask. You know, again, you don't put yourself in jeopardy so you can't pay your bills, but maybe if you cut out a little of your entertainment fund, you know, the funds that you put aside for entertainment and enjoyment, and give that to those in need, you know, especially at the holiday season. You're going to see more and more. I got something in the mail from a food bank that's looking to feed people who don't have anything. You're going to see a lot of this around the time of the holidays. And this gospel, I really think, challenges each of us. Are we giving from the heart? Are we holding back because we're afraid, well, you never know, I might need that money? And that can also apply to maybe the Lord's asking me to take another job where I know I can help more people. I feel it in my heart, but man, it doesn't pay as much. I don't know about that. You know, we could look at so many different examples where the Lord is saying, all right, I'm going to ask you to trust me. And there's going to be some risk involved. You know, there really isn't risk, but in our minds, there's risk. Yeah, I have the risk of not enjoying myself or not being as comfortable as I was. That's the risk. But ultimately, there's certainly no risk in trusting God. I'm not saying I don't struggle with this. I struggle with this all the time. Being in full-time ministry for the past 12 years, this has been, it's been brutal at times. And the Lord's really asked me to trust in some crazy ways. But you know what? He never let me down. I had a sacrifice. My family had a sacrifice. But the Lord always gave us more in return than what we gave him. Certainly not necessarily monetarily. He wasn't giving me money. But there were a lot of graces that resulted from our sacrifice. So I would encourage you to take that gospel seriously. Let's look, and here's another. This first reading is also a very extreme example from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 10 through 16. In those days, Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called out to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." You know, I want to pause here to kind of set this up. God sent Elijah to Zarephath, which is pagan territory, enemy country, or pagan country, enemy territory. And he told him a widow would provide for his needs there. Crazy, right? But Elijah obeyed. And this story begins to play out. This promise of God begins to play out. So he encounters the widow just as promised by God. He asks for a cup of water. She left to get it. And then he called out to her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first, make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and for your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. So what was going on? There was a drought taking place, and people were really struggling to find food and drink. The Lord told Elijah that he's going to take care of him through this widow. God's obviously not speaking to the widow because she's a little nervous, but she ultimately recognizes Elijah as a prophet, as speaking on behalf of God, and takes that chance. And as a result, she was able to eat for a year, as well as her and her son. I'm sorry, she was able to eat, Elijah was able to eat, and the son was able to eat for a year. What happens after that? Then I believe the rain would have come, but I don't know exactly what's going to happen after that. But for at least a year, that was going to continue, and they would have enough because they trusted God. And again, this is the theme that we saw in the gospel. Are you willing to place all of your trust in God, not being irresponsible, but placing your trust in him? And again, that's going to look different to each of us. The ways he's going to ask us to trust will be different. But the fact that he will ask us to trust him, as we get closer to him, you're going to see more and more opportunities of this. The moral of the story is that if you place your trust in God, he will not disappoint you. That's the key. Again, I wouldn't recommend being irresponsible, and I don't think that's what the Lord wants either. But he does want us to place our trust in him. Are you willing to do that? Let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. Do you see that? He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. He provides for our needs, spiritual and material. Not our wants, but our needs. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. The fatherless and the widow, he sustains the helpless people. You know, the fatherless, the widow, he sustains. We see widows mentioned in the Old Testament reading, first reading, as well as the gospel this week. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. Praise the Lord, my soul. And we just see throughout that psalm examples of the Lord's providence. Really, that's what this is all about. He created you out of nothing. He will provide for your needs. That's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. The trouble is, I think we get our needs and our wants confused. And sometimes, I don't know if this is a popular message, but I have to speak the truth. Sometimes what we really need is a little suffering in our life, because that will bring us closer to God and ultimately will help us get to heaven and maybe help others get to heaven if we offer up our suffering for them. It's hard to believe that, but he will give us what we need. But when he looks at what we need, he looks at it in terms of our entire life, which consists of not just the time on this earth, but for all of eternity. He wants us to get to heaven more than he wants us to be comfortable in this world. That's the fact. Second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of a true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice, just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. This is the ultimate example of God providing for our needs. Our greatest need, one that we can do nothing about on our own, is the need to get to heaven, There's nothing we could need more than to live for all eternity in heaven. But we, you and me, we are helpless to do anything about it without the grace won for us on the cross by Jesus Christ. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So this is the ultimate example, because here's the thing of God's providence. Here's the thing. All of our earthly treasures, any needs while we're in this life, they're all going to pass away, and they will cease to become needs once we die. The biggest need, the biggest gift we need in our lives, eternal and earthly, right, is the gift of being able to live forever in heaven. We cannot do anything about that on our own. We need the grace given to us by Jesus, and then we're called to cooperate with that grace, to respond to that grace. But it's only by his grace that we're going to get there. So we are just about at the end of the program. I just want to sum up and ask the question again. Are you willing to place your trust in God? And if so, are you willing to suffer or to be uncomfortable in doing so? That's what it's going to take sometime. But I'll tell you what, if you're looking for peace, there is no better way to do it than to each day say, Jesus, I place my trust in you. And you're going to find peace. And you're also going to realize that he does know best. We might not always see it, but there's a certain calmness that comes over you when you begin to do that. I want to thank you for tuning into the program. I hope you enjoyed it. Please share the word about this show. I'd love to get some new listeners. Followingthetruth.com is my website. If you would like to contact me about anything, or you can do it through the website, bring me in to speak at your parish or your conference. Also, you can make a donation to my full-time ministry by going to followingthetruth.com. I'm so grateful for the fact that you listen to this program. I'm grateful for your prayers. I'm grateful for your financial donations. And I am very grateful that God would allow me to do this show. God willing, we're going to do it again next week. I hope you'll join me. Until then, keep on trusting in God. God bless you. Bye-bye.